Make me laugh, funny man.
Make you laugh.
Make me laugh.
Fuck you.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
I thought you said you did some pre-pro.
I did.
Feed me.
Okay, Chris, so you know how we were talking about strange medical conditions last week?
Sure.
You know, the exploding head syndrome and Harlequin babies, which still, even when I went to edit that, just made me so sad, because seeing those pictures, man, just agony. But
sad and nauseous.
Yeah, I was sadcious. But I went online and I found a list of the 10 most bizarre allergies.
Yes.
That a person could have. There's some strange stuff here, which I guess makes some sense. Like, did you know that you can be allergic to a cellular phone?
What are you allergic to?
You are allergic to the nickel in the faceplate and the surrounding metal of the cell phone. Because like people are going in with like boils and rashes and stuff like that.
Turns my face green.
That's only because you got a gold ass cell phone, man. You flossing.
Definitely.
You go to the dentist and he asks, "So have you been flossing lately?" You whip out your cell phone and you say, "Call my doctor."
I say, bitch, please.
Yeah. Here's the thing. This nickel allergy affects 17% of women and 3% of men.
Huh.
Huh. Other stuff. I mean, I think this is a bit presumptuous because they say that a person can be allergic to sex, but in reality, they're only talking about the 20,000 to 40,000 United States women who are extremely sensitive to the presence of semen. Who are allergic to the male seminal plasma. I say that's presumptuous because there are many different kinds of love. I think we here at TDRK are down with whatever a particular person's deal may be, you know, just to send us an email about that. But but to say that a person's allergic to sex, if they just have bad reactions when they come into contact with semen, come on, we, you know, there's the God's green earth is much wider than that.
Hey, make a list real quick.
Okay.
I'm gonna state a symptom, and you're gonna say, "Yeah, I've had that," or "No, I haven't." Okay.
Okay.
All right. Feverishness.
Yes.
Runny nose.
Yes.
Extreme fatigue.
No.
Fatigue.
Yes.
Burning eyes.
No.
Burning eyes immediately after you ejaculate.
Only if my aim's wrong or right, depending
so
on
no,
what the
so no,
might
so
be.
No then
so no, no no
well then I'll tell you what you can eliminate as possibilities of causing the symptoms that you do have is a syndrome which is spelled out POIS, which I assume is poise. It's post-orgasmic illness syndrome. It apparently is a pretty mysterious syndrome, which men come down with flu-like symptoms. You know, it's sort of an illness after an orgasm, and it may be caused by an allergy to semen.
To your own semen?
To your own semen, yes.
Is that why my nuts so swole?
No, that's a different thing.
I was going to say.
But yeah, they're trying to convince apparently somebody in Holland. That's the Dutch, right? The Dutch are in Holland.
Yes.
That those symptoms that I mentioned, feverishness, runny nose, extreme fatigue, and burning eyes immediately after you ejaculate, as POIS, post-orgasmic illness syndrome.
Well, you know, the only known cure is to make her pay for breakfast and then never call again.
Or crying.
Oh, definitely, yes.
So,
but does another person have to be present?
No.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
No. At least not in the sample group.
Right. Well, not, you know, like I said, everybody has their own specific needs and burdens. Well, okay, countdown to when this is used as a defense for murder.
I don't even know. But wait a second. Hold on, I'm reading down further in this, and it says they didn't feel ill when they masturbated without ejaculating, but as soon as the semen came from the testes, after that they became ill, sometimes within just a few minutes.
Wow.
Okay, so of the 45 men, Dutchmen, so bear in mind.
Yeah.
33 of them agreed to undergo a standard skin prick allergy test using a diluted form of their own semen.
What?
Yes. So, hey, hang on a minute, man. Why don't you come on in here and let me shoot you up with some of your own load?
Chris, do you want to know how much the internet has ruined me?
A lot.
No, here's how much the internet has ruined me. My first response upon hearing that isn't, you know, oh, what a strange scientific method, or, oh, that makes sense. I mean, if it's testing what they're allergic to, you might as well face them with what the, you're, no, that's not what my first thought is. My first thought is, there is somebody who gets off on that.
I don't think so.
I think that there is, no. Chris.
Because the way that they're trying to treat this is by hyposensitization therapy. Otherwise known as coming in twice a week to get shot with your own load.
Yeah. Life's complicated.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that we're making pretty good progress in the realm of medical updates and things like that. I mean, people, just for instance, women used to die when, like, their first implant burst, you know? But now, I guess, some German porn actress named Sexy Cora... she's 23 years old, and she's died after her sixth breast surgery.
Well, to be fair, she does have six breasts.
No.
Yeah.
She's had six breast sizes. This latest addition, this latest inflation, if you will.
She does know that she can return the bras and get the right size, right? She doesn't have to...
She's going from an F to a G cup.
Okay.
Which, according to my alphabet, is bigger.
Right. Is that an actual size? Like, can a person go above the ABCD scale?
Apparently not. They die.
Chris, is there a mercenary squad of professional assassins that go out? They work for the Vatican. They go after people who... Go after people who have the gall to make titties bigger than God says they can be. Oh, God. Vatican assassins going after busty supermodels. That, my friend, is a screenplay. Nip-hits.
Why does this have anything to do with the Catholic Church?
I don't know. Chris,
because in a dark room somewhere, they're doing evil on all fronts?
Yeah. Well, as a conspiracy theorist, which you know that I am... there's only a couple. It's basically like playing tarot. You know, you have the tower, you have death. Just like there's only a certain number of symbols that there are to draw on. In the conspiracy theorist deck, there's the Catholic Church, there's, you know,
draw
the US
four.
Government. Yeah. So there's the Catholic Church, you know, the ATF, CIA, FBI, you know, the things of that nature, the Jews,
D-E-A.
What's that?
D-E-A-Q-U-P.
And of course, aliens.
Aliens. That's, you know, right.
Aliens. So, you know, that's why I go there. So what was the mechanism of her death? Was the surgery just botched, or did she just kind of like collapse forward in half and suffocate?
I'm trying to decipher that. I really didn't care. I mean, the saddest part of the story is that she's cut down in her prime. she was actually given the best amateur 2010 award at the Venus Erotic Industry Trade Fair. Apparently, is a big deal. It had to do with her anesthesia.
Oh, okay.
Anesthesia.
So that's not like, that's hardly a thing. That's like saying that a kid smoked pot once and then died in a car accident because his dad was drunk and blaming it on the pot. I just rolled a bunch of controversies up into one little simile, but I think my point stands.
I mean, it's hard to say. Maybe it was the anesthesia. Maybe it was the constantly getting railed for a living. Because I'm reading...
compromised her immune system.
I'm reading the description of how she died. And it sounds kind of like how Michael Jackson died, like a lot of different people. The brain damage was too great. She took too much to the dome. her body went on full alert. Too many holes are filled. The brain damage was too great.
Jeez.
She was like a tea kettle in a cartoon, ready to just burst. and she reached her limit, the zenith of her mortality, if you will.
Yeah.
And her blood pressure dropped steadily. And her physiological functions gave out. And then she went to sleep quietly.
It was like a house of cards tumbling in slow motion, silently.
Yeah.
Sexy Cora, we salute you.
Hey, nice job.
Good on ya.
Because you did that.
You done it.
And that's amazing. Apparently, you didn't have anything else to give us.
Well, let's face it here, Chris. 23 in porn years?
God, yeah.
Jenna Jameson is 27. Look at her.
It takes a very, very interesting person to be able to give so much. By spending their life taking.
To take so much. No, but I mean, just like, think about what burning a candle at both ends does to somebody, right? Now.
It's a lot of things. Now, put two wicks on one end. Leave the other end with two candles sticking out from the sides.
And have the third wick standing over top of her, spitting on her, telling her that she shouldn't have failed that test.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You're a dirty candle. I don't know if this is gonna end up in the show or not. I'm not sure. I can't watch professional pornography.
I think that we need to leave that particular portion for the audience, because they need to know more about you.
More about me, okay?
Because how do you determine professional?
Okay,
like a storyline?
No, I'm talking about what would be construed as mainstream high production value pornography, okay? And it's mostly because of the exploitative content. Now, disclaimer.
Exploitative,
Chris, and I'm not trying to be like drippy liberal, whatever. Here, I'm just saying that the majority of the pornography that I have watched, that I've exposed myself, that I have acclimated myself to, okay, uh-huh. Because I'm a grown man with an adult with adult needs. God damn it, okay.
Yeah, I was just testing my allergies, but you have needs.
Right. No. So, like, just like you porn, right, which is kind of this amateur stuff. It's generally two people, and it's really easy to kind of self-select into topics that you would like. So there's not an awful lot. At least I try to avoid stuff that I consider to be extreme, right? Like puking on balls.
Well, that's different. that's not professional. There is no professional porn actress that does that.
but here's the thing. I wanted to change it up a little bit. I went away from you porn. And I went to Pornhub, because I heard that there was some stuff going on over there, that there was some more high production value stuff happening. I was like, okay, well, you know, why not? Like some of the high production value stuff that I've seen on YouPorn, again, self-selecting away from the piss mopping ball pukers.
Piss mopping ball pukers.
Self-selecting away from that, and I picked one that I thought that would match my preferences, and what I was treated to was harsh
hand job.
Was basically this woman crying into the camera as things were being done to her. And I was
oh hell yeah.
This is not I just feel bad for this person. I don't know. I guess, Chris, I think that what that says to me is that I'm not as desensitized as I might think I am. Right. And that's heartening because as much as I talk about the internet ruining me or whatever, there is still something that disgusts me and I have to turn it off.
No, I think that there's not a category. There's not a category of discussion that you don't use that step stool that you carry around for.
What step stool?
To try to make yourself above everybody, man. Because if you just come down, you'd see that that shit's great.
I'm not holding anything back. I'm talking on a podcast about my private moments, okay? I'm not better than anybody. I'm one of the common men, all right? I just don't happen to enjoy common men pornography, I guess.
Hmm. My point being is you could take out pornography and put in a lot of stuff, and it would still be true.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Replace pornography with beer.
Okay.
I'm a common man, but I just don't like the common man's beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, replace pornography with pretty much anything.
I guess I just don't understand why that's a bad thing.
Which is why you continue to do it.
Because if I thought it was a bad thing, I'd probably pump the brakes on it. I don't know. Chris,
we wouldn't be having this discussion.
We wouldn't. But I guess what I'm saying, Chris, and I apologize if I use the word exploitative for anything that you personally enjoy, or if I inadvertently, you know, insulted the beer that you drink. I guess what I'm saying is that a great part of my arrival at maturity, or at least my ability to coexist with things that are not my style, is my ability to not say, oh my God, that is terrible, or oh my God, that sucks, or it's objectively bad. It's my ability to say that is not for me.
Gotcha.
That's not for me.
That's a very civil approach.
And fuck you, I'm drinking High Life.
Oh, really?
So, I'm drinking High Life and watching piss mopping ball vomiters.
You need to zero in on the harsh hand job.
Can you describe it to me?
Yeah, it's like it's a POV hand job, sometimes some oral, and it's
whose POV is this?
It's the person who's receiving's POV.
Okay.
Yeah, and the person who's giving is verbally insulting and assaulting, while smacking and using nails and doing all kinds of pseudo masochist type things to the frenum and shaft.
That just seems that's not for me. My self-esteem is so low, Chris, that
it's gonna be so easy to get you off this tiny little dick.
Is this a thing? Are you fucking with me?
No, this is real. I mean, what I'm saying is, I don't know if it's real or not, but
you just custom tailored that for me.
This is a real thing. Yeah, this is for you.
Yeah.
What is this? I don't understand. Why do you have red pubes? That's fucking gross.
God. None of this is going in. My self-esteem is so low that when I try to escape into whatever relief that kind of sesh will provide me,
yeah,
if the women there start cutting into me, I'll wither and die. I'm like a fragile flower in the beating sun, my friend. You can't just let sexy women stomp all over me with high heels.
Well, that's a whole different category.
Okay. Gonna chase a devil tonight, chase a devil tonight. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man.
Do you remember the movie or the television show 30 Days?
Yeah, with the guy that does stuff for 30 days.
Yeah, he picks something for 30 days. I think it originated with the movie, the documentary, the superb documentary, Super Size Me. And then he went on to do the 30 days. But I have one number better for that, actually.
Yes.
Okay. How about 162 days? That is how much one inner city middle school teacher That is how many school lunches she ate.
Oh man!
For her blog,
mm-hmm.
which will soon be made into a book, trying to get less shitty food into the into school lunches.
What happened to her?
She ate other stuff. I think that she just she gained a little bit of weight on it. Like she, you know, had regular breakfast and dinner. You know, it's not like she was, you know, sustaining herself on that pizza that's cut into rectangles and the cheese always burns. But she was just documenting, basically trying to say, I just wanted to make a public record of what my students ate. It's not to target anybody. The lunchroom manager, the ladies and men who are in the cafeteria, they care about the students and what's best for them in their lives. They don't have the power of controlling their menus. They're just doing their jobs. She described her encounters with bagel dogs, yellowish meatloaf, chicken tenders, which she described as squirts of chicken foam, which I suppose is another pornography category. Chicken foam.
I know exactly what she's talking about. Bite into some BK chicken fries and you'll see it.
Oh God, it's like that stuff they use to seal windows.
Some BK chicken squirts.
Chicken drizzlers. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, so you know, people are coming out and assaulting her, saying, well, but my school serves zucchini chips and all of that. But like a lot of the stuff is categorically shit, right?
What do you get for, like, what is a school lunch, like $2.25?
Oh God, it's probably like $5 now.
It's probably like $3, but yeah, still
something like that.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to get? What are you going to pack? A bologna sandwich?
I guess.
Oh, I got a fucking sandwich made out of where the CIA hides their enemies. No, that's the chicken foam. No, it's the bologna.
Oh, God. The chicken foam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's an interesting experiment. There are tons of those kind of blogs where people like, I'm going to go so and so amount of time doing this. A couple years ago, there was a guy who lived for an entire year, as the Bible describes that you should. So like, he didn't shave and he didn't wear any mixed fabric.
He rolled 365 in the word.
He was OG, OG OTNT.
Yes.
Original gangsta, Old Testament, New Testament.
Yeah.
He was Nognot. So.
Nognot. I don't even know what that means.
OGNTNT. Yeah. So I don't know if he personally could have had the toasted cheese sandwich with tomato soup. But so have you ever wondered how much electricity you're using?
Not really.
No. Okay.
No.
Maybe it's just for me because I'm apparently a snob or something. Jesus. I mean, just like, you should just tell me these things as opposed to like declaring a litany of my offenses against your taste.
Well, the charges have to be read, man.
God. It's like, say, hey, man, that's kind of a douchey thing to say. You know, don't call me out in front of the kids. Okay. Don't call me out in front of the listeners. By the way, I'm not drinking a High Life. I'm drinking a Brooklyn Winter Ale.
That doesn't surprise me.
Base.
No,
I was drinking a High Life earlier. So can we file this under that's a really good idea? As in, like, I wouldn't have thought of that, but it actually kind of makes some sense.
What?
Okay. So the principle is there are a bunch of things that we have plugged in inside our houses that are drawing power that don't really need to, right? Like, you know, cell phone chargers that are plugged in, et cetera, blah, 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 predators dying, you know, things like that. From a more pragmatic view, this is driving up our electric bill, like 10 to 15%. Okay.
Yeah.
Stuff that's plugged in that doesn't really need to be plugged in. The solution, however, is being worked out by a cell phone company. They are working on a smartphone charger that actually glows when the thing is drawing power. and it glows more rapidly, it pulses more rapidly, the more power it's drawing.
I'd be a bigger fan of outlet control.
Like they have in Europe?
Like, depending on square footage, say you can only have one outlet for every 750 square feet. Because you would definitely think about what you have plugged in, and you would unplug shit so you could plug other stuff in.
But how many surge protectors can you have?
None.
Ah, man. What about my stuff that needs protection from surging?
Well, I'm not going to pay for I'm not going to pay, and the Earth isn't going to pay because you got to plug stuff in.
But I need to produce this podcast. Don't you think that we're providing a valuable service to the people of Earth?
You charge your battery and then you unplug it.
Okay.
That's why you have a battery.
But what if I need to plug in my light, but I also have to plug in my router and my modem. So I can't. So I'm either podcasting in the dark or I'm not connecting to the internet.
You podcast in the dark.
Oh. Is it more sensual that way?
No.
But how will I keep my beer cold? Chris, your rules make no sense.
No, they make sense.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, it's gun control as opposed to bullet control, man.
Oh, that old Chris Rock joke where let everybody have as many guns as possible, but make bullets cost $5,000?
No.
Oh.
No, they say take away guns, but then they were like, no, we'll just serial number the bullets. I don't know. Makes sense to me.
I don't know. Speaking of guns, Chris, I have a story for you from Wayne County, Ohio.
Yeah, that's like right by us here.
Yeah, it's like right up there. Now, are you familiar with the television program The Mythbusters?
Sure.
Where they give the myths and misconceptions of our modern day society a bit of a 1-2 punch. All right.
Sure
now,
thing.
A couple of years ago, they tested the myth as to whether or not phone books would stop bullets. Okay. Now the thing is, it took like six layers of phone books on the outside of a car door to stop like a small round, you know, like a 10 millimeter. Okay.
Okay.
Now, this person probably just saw the beginning of that episode and not the end of it, like to figure out that, hey, if I shoot that, it's going to go right through. So this man from Wayne County, he shot into his neighbor's house through a phone book held up against the side of the building three times. He is accused of setting phone books on his fireplace mantle and firing at them with a 9mm pistol. Only one round hit the phone book. All three rounds penetrated the wall and continued into the neighbor's home. Hey, buddy, you're doing it wrong. Don't get Mythbusters taken off the air. Don't do that. They're like the only good television show left.
That guy has something else the matter with
him. He does. I mean, but here's the thing. I was doing pre-production and I was browsing CNN.com and I was looking at the local pages and I saw Mythbuster charged with felony. I thought, oh God, Jamie got popped for possession of child porn. I knew it.
Which one's Jamie?
He's the guy who goes raw and he's got the funny mustache and he always wears the beret.
Yeah, who's the other guy?
Adam.
Oh, Adam. Yeah, did you see that photo that was released here a few years ago of him?
It wasn't with him.
With like his legs behind his head, spouting diarrhea into his mouth.
No, I don't think it was that. I think he had his legs behind his head, but he was going full goatsy.
What does that mean?
You have not seen the goatsy picture?
No.
It's a guy who is holding his anus wide open to about the size of a dinner plate.
Oh. I call that a gyro. Oh,
Jesus. But yeah, I have seen the picture of what is purportedly Adam, but it actually was like proven not to be him. Yeah, so this guy, he needs to like try and get bad shows taken off the air and not, I say, sully the name of my good friends the Mythbusters. Don't do that.
Hey, can I tell you a little story?
Sure.
There's this guy, he's been in the news recently, and he lives in town here, and I guess you could call him, like, the town crazy guy?
Yeah, every town has one.
Yeah. He has these books that he reads, and they were written, like, thousands of years ago, he says. And he wears robes.
Of course.
And every day he comes to his window, which is at the square of town. He lives up above the storefronts and such.
Like, and on the outside of the building, clinging to the sides?
He throws open the shutters to the window in his apartment, and he yells stuff from it.
Like doomsaying, or?
Well, the other day, this is the last thing he did. He wanted to make sure that, to let people know that the universe was not created by accident.
Okay.
Okay. That it was not the result of chance. Now, in your neighborhood, or in my neighborhood, if that happened, what would we do with that guy?
Well, and I'm glad that you made that distinction, because, like, in my neighborhood, we are probably just give them money.
In Vatican City, that's what you do, is give them money as well. because this little story that I told is actually the truth, and it's a little guy who drives around in a bubble cart. And his name is the Pope.
A little bubble cart.
His name.
Why the bubble, Mr. Popingston? Yeah, I got these Italian guys throwing turtle shells at me. It's fucked.
He wants to let Christians know that they should. And by all means, take a fucking class. Because if you're in any sort of authority figure, if you're channeling the word of God, you don't say you should. And I really should lose some weight. Thou shall not. That's how you proclaim.
I like what you did there. I like what you did there.
So he wants us to know that the idea that the universe is created by accident, the former Nazi Pope says that it's God's mind was the driving force behind such scientific theories as the Big Bang.
Okay, so this is him. This is
there's a distinction. There's a little line in there. You got to pay attention.
Okay.
So pins and needles, wait for it. He says, adding that God's mind was the driving force behind the theories of the Big Bang.
Okay.
The universe is not the result of chance, as some would make us believe.
So he's trying to marry the concepts of intelligent creation with the Big Bang.
It's hard to tell if he's trying to say, hey, you know, these theories are God's tests, or these theories are the purpose of the theories are nothing. My main point is, motherfucker dresses in robes, reads some shit, drives around in a bubble car, and comes to his window every morning.
Okay.
And yells stuff out of it.
See, here's the thing. If you pay attention to the history of the Catholic Church, aside from, you know, them straight up murdering Galileo and stuff like that, they've actually been pretty on point with, like, trying to adopt certain scientific things, or at least try to ostracize them. And I think that that's on point to a certain extent. Basically saying the actual evidence for, like, what the Big Bang was and the consequences of that on our universe and on our surroundings as a whole, general relativity and whatnot, that is getting harder and harder and harder to deny. So what we have to do in order to remain relevant in the face of shit that can be proven left and right, we have to describe how our conception of God fits inside of that. And I as much as I think that it's outwardly goofy, at least this will lead to a lot less people, at least from the Catholic side, you know, the Protestants, God fear them, will keep on saying, herd, 6,000 years old, herda, hada, herda. And that's the thing. But no, I think that, you know, it's not above, you know, comprehension to say that even though these things might have happened, I'm not a religious person, but by any stretch of the imagination, but I can at least meet the Pope halfway and say that even if there was not a God who, you know, directly influenced this and said, Cole's going to sit here and make a podcast and do all this and all that, there is a greater power, which is not like a sentient being, but a set of laws or a set of rules that are beyond our comprehension, that lie outside of what we can see and observe, that are directing this in some way. That is the divine spark that he's talking about, just like, you know, evolution, all of that. So, you know, I don't think that a belief in the Big Bang or a belief in evolution is exactly mutually exclusive to believing that there is some kind of higher order or balance to things.
At the far end of town, where the incense flows, and the wind smells slow and sour where he goes. Who was the Jesus, and why was he here? And why was he lifted and taken somewhere? From the far end of town where the incense still flows. Let's ask the Pope. He still lives here. Let's ask him. He knows. Is it a stretch to believe that the Lorax was somehow inspired by the Pope?
No, I don't know if it was inspired by the Pope. I definitely think that Dr. Seuss's The Lorax is a Christ allegory, specifically vis-a-vis the environment, which is this was something that was sent here from God to help help cover up for our fuck ups. So we just went and went and done it and took advantage of it, and then there it goes. So the Lorax might be Jesus. So, Chris, I think that we have succeeded in alienating just about everybody.
It's about time we got around to it.
It's about time, because I don't know if we have alienated women just yet, if we have skewed that anti-female with our discussion of pornography.
Nah.
And I don't think that we have ever so thoroughly attacked religion.
It's not an attack. I don't believe this.
Okay.
you asked me questions about like flying as opposed to being blind and deaf, and humor is not reality.
Okay. See, for humor
is a device to escape reality.
Okay.
And if you just read the news, or heard or experienced life without drifting off during it, that'd be a fucking boring day. It would be like living life while looking through a straw. That's what it would be like. If you did not let your mind go in every single direction. And I think people think that I don't listen to them sometimes, and I am, but I'm also thinking about all the different things that they could have said and what that would mean if they did say those things.
I'm pondering the implications of what you say and what you are.
The person that speaks to me most of the time has no identity, really.
They're just a clear area that makes just noises and smells.
They join the chorus of voices in my mind.
Right.
Yeah. And if I didn't have that, man, I wouldn't be around.
Yeah.
You ever heard about you are what you eat?
Yes.
Apparently the residents of Tucson, after being traumatized by the vitriol-induced shootings that occur when somebody who's totally fucking crazy goes on a rampage,
okay,
decided that they might want to eat something that would make them more ferocious.
Like tiger penis?
Like tiger penis and other tiger parts.
Yeah, whole tigers.
Only replace tiger with lion. And replace eat with jam inside of a taco shell and then prepay an order at Boca Tacos y Tequila in Tucson, Arizona, where you can actually prepay for a meal that you will consume on February 16th. that will include African lion tacos.
Is that legitimately why? Did they wish to gain some of the fierce essence of the lion?
No, I don't think so, but it makes sense, right?
Does it?
Yeah, Brian Maison, the owner of the taco joint, says he was insulted when asked by a patron proposing to make an order if he could get a soft African lion taco, to which he responded, "We ain't no pussies, only crunchy." Apparently the FDA was, at least for the purposes of this article, asked to comment. It said, "Can lion and other game meat be sold?" To which they responded, "Shit, yeah."
Shit, yeah. Is that technically FDA's jurisdiction?
There's actually within federal law and FDA regulation, for the 6 months after a member of Congress is assassinated or an attempted assassination, there's a 6-month moratorium on the consuming endangered species.
Really?
Yes. I don't know, man. I read this article title and it's this week. I got to figure out who wrote this, because this week, this person, Charles Choi, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
He entitled his in-depth, full 2 scrolls on my laptop mouse article, "The Neanderthal Enigma: Why Were Their Noses So Big?"
Okay.
Yeah.
It's probably because they had to smell shit that was behind them.
Chuck, really? Why did they have such big schnozzes?
Is that like cloaked racism? Is he covering it up? Like, is he making an implication? Like, who else has big noses? Black people and
No, you went there. He didn't.
Ah, God.
You bigot.
This is Fox News, so I don't. So I don't put anything past them. I really don't.
Do you think that connection is what they were trying to pander to, in trying to manipulate the small minds?
Yeah.
Well, you got from A to B really quick, brother. So
am I right or am I wrong?
It doesn't matter. You're still fucking prejudiced.
Jesus. Being aware of prejudice and pointing it out when I see it does not make me the same thing that I am, that I am criticizing.
It makes you a fucking leader, man. That's what that does.
So, okay, I can agree with you in that I am probably just as cynical as the people who choose to exploit that. But
let me guess, in the opposite direction.
I don't know.
You uppity son of a bitch.
I take it and I turn it, okay? So are we done? Because I feel like I've just taken a thrashing from you for the past hour.
Do you think you deserved it?
I don't know.
Do you feel I've been mean to you?
You've been harsh.
Isn't that the point of this?
No, it's fine, man. Whatever. It's comedy. It's comedy. I think it reveals more about the dynamic between us.
What, where I'm a bully?
Well, yeah.
Delete it.
Delete this podcast.
We're doing
sir.
It again.
We're doing it again, starting now.
We're Open doing up it again. Beer. My equally moral brother.
God, we didn't even talk about the new the astrology sign.
I don't think I changed. I'm pretty sure. Where can I find that?
But the Western zodiac, as we encounter it right now, is actually codified out of superstitions in ancient Babylonia. Now, initially, when they put these things together, there were 13 signs based on their observations. But when the Roman Empire came to power under the rule of Caesar, the 13 signs were discarded in favor of 12, which would better match the calendar. Okay. But now actual scientists are coming out and saying, hey, that whole 13 thing was wrong, and that sign you think that you were born under is not actually the case. Okay.
Okay.
So what sign were you before?
I was a Pisces.
You were a Pisces. Well, I'm sorry, Chris, but you are actually not a Pisces anymore, because Pisces now runs from March 12th to April the 18th.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
You're now an Aquarius. Don't worry. I mean, my shit changed too. Yes, you're Aquarius now. I had fun with this at work up until the woman who reads the like the natural medicine show came in. And I had a readout and I was asking people, hey, when's your birthday? Like, what sign are you? And they say, oh, I'm a Virgo. I was like, actually, no, I'm sorry. You're a Leo. And it was like, oh, no, God. You know, it's like, whatever. And then I thankfully stopped before I did it because there are people out there who actually believe this, which is funny to me. Like, can you imagine how many divorces this change has caused? This adding of the officious sign to the zodiac? Divorces, Chris. People are making life decisions based on this.
Somehow I wasn't really listening because I was trying to manipulate all the animals in this Chinese zodiac to somehow relate to Charlotte's Web. And it didn't really work out.
Oh, of course, you end up being Wilbur. God.
I don't know.
Oh, there's the rat. Yeah. There's the ox. Tiger's the cat. There's, I don't know. I don't remember. There is a rabbit. Oh, a dragon. Sparks the dragon was in there.
Mm-hmm. this ghetto black dragon named Puffy.
Puffs.
Name's Puffy the Dragon. Otherwise known as P Dragon.
P Dragon. The piss dragon?
Pea dragon.
God, Chris, can we make a gang called the piss dragons?
Could we? Seriously? Really?
I think we could.
Smells like ammonia.
Is yeah, there a governing body?
They've been tagging this corner pretty heavy.
Is there a governing body where we can sign up to be the piss dragons?
I have no idea. It sounds kind of like a tug of war team name to me. And now on this side of the moat,
they cut that scene out of the Warriors.
This has been Those Damn Roskits.
Hey, we need hats.
We need hats to sell.
We need hats for the piss dragons.
We need piss dragon hats. The piss dragons, of course.
The TDRK piss dragons.
Is that what our fans are?
We've chosen a mascot, and now we need to merch.
We need
your money.
We need to reach brand singularity. Well, as we know, the piss dragons are very loyal to each other and to their, you know, leaders, us. So if you want to engender this loyalty, both from us and to us and from your fellow piss dragons.
It makes about as much sense as the Masons, really.
Yeah, yeah. Maury.
Rub some sticks together and you're a fucking piss dragon.
When have you ever seen a Mason in real life? I talk to piss dragons every day. Each and every one of you who listen to the show. So, to get this ball rolling and to show that you are OG piss dragon, go to thosedamnroskids.com/donate and kick a little money our way for bandwidth and hosting and all those good things. Hey, Chris, I got something to say to you.
Yeah.
Piss dragons for life.
Hey, you know it.